Thank you for joining us today. This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Women's Leadership Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Melissa Johnson. We'll talk to Melissa about a number of questions about managing a sales team, growing a business, what works, what doesn't work, setbacks, how she stays motivated, and so forth. Melissa, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thanks, Scott. Happy to be with you today. My name is Melissa Johnson, and I'm the Vice President of Business Development at Comforce Health. And Comforce Health is a boutique healthcare staffing and consulting organization. We provide talent and consultative solutions that help hospitals prevent revenue leakage and improve reimbursement. I personally started in the healthcare industry almost 12 years ago. I was fortunate enough to be placed into a healthcare opportunity, and I've never looked back since. I love healthcare. It's always evolving and always changing, and it's something new every day. I started as an account manager with a staffing firm here in Tampa, Florida, and really just worked my way up over the years to where I am today.
Thank you. And you manage business development, sales growth, and so forth. What's your best advice for managing and growing a sales team and for managing and growing sales?
Sure. A great question and a topic that I'm actually very passionate about. And really, my best advice is to set and communicate expectations with the people that you lead. Not only what you expect of them, but what they can expect of you as their leader. And then the second part of that is providing consistent updates on their progress towards those expectations and towards meeting goals. I think it's important that you're always transparent and candid while always leading with authenticity and integrity. So those are just some of the things that, I think are really important and critical to the success of managing and leading a team.
And what doesn't work? What doesn't work in leading a team?
I think one of the things that definitely never works is shying away from difficult conversations. If things aren't working or if there is a problem, it doesn't just go away on its own over time. You've got to be able to work together with your peers and the people on your team to fix things and to get back on track. And as the leader, you are always responsible. So if your people or your team is underperforming, the leader needs to make changes. And so it's incumbent upon you as a leader to get out there and take those problems by the horns and fix them.
And let me ask you a question about that. In terms of a salesperson or business developer joining your team, mm-hmm. What's the period of time in which you could tell whether the person will be an effective part of the team or not? And are you ever surprised, either in the positive or the negative way?
Sure. Great question. You can probably tell pretty quickly, even in the interview process and the process of how you onboard your people, whether or not they're going to be a good fit for your team. And one thing that I see pretty often is organizations place a lot of emphasis and sometimes too much emphasis on hard skills and what's on a resume. And I think that they miss that soft skills are just as important, if not more so, than hard skills. Things like accountability, things like persistence, adaptability, creativity, grit. Those are all equally as important when you're hiring great people. And I think again, it's a combination of both. So one of the things that I do in my process is I deploy, kind of more of those situational type questions and really try to get to the soft skills side of a candidate, things I can't see on a resume, things that I can't see on paper, because hiring great people is, undoubtedly the number one thing that you can do as a business. For those of you who know Jim Collins, I follow Jim Collins, I've read all of his books. In his book, Good to Great, he explains how crucial it is to get the right people on board first and foremost, because with the right people on your team, you can accomplish anything. So you know, again, I think really and truly focusing on that interview process, the onboarding process, and really looking at hard and soft skills is going to ensure that you find the right fit for your team, and you're good to go from there.
Have you ever hired somebody that you didn't expect great success with and it surprised you to become one of your most important people?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I came to the Comforce Health business in 2016, I was responsible for transforming, you know, the business and really positioning it for growth. So during that time, I inherited a very, you know, legacy sales team, but they had kind of done sales one way. And we really wanted to teach them different selling methodologies, how to go after bigger, you know, more predictable revenue streams and sell to a different type of client. And that's one of the things that I love to do is really coaching and mentoring people. And I do have an individual on my team that embraced the change, recognized that he, you know, wanted to learn and wanted to grow and really was open to the feedback. And so he's one of my little prize students, I would say. And the fact that I've been able to really upgrade his skills and help him continue to be successful in a different market.
How do you set goals for your team?
So people are probably going to fall off their chairs when I say this, but for the most part, I actually let my team develop their own goals. And this kind of goes back to what I was talking about a little bit, you know, about hiring great people and hiring the right people. I ask them what they think is possible, and then I fill in the gaps otherwise, because of course, you know, I have, you know, a boss and somebody to answer to, and they certainly have financial goals for the company. So I kind of have to be the conduit between the two. You know, again, because I've hired the right people and I've hired great people, they typically set higher goals for themselves than what I would have set for them. You know, I see so many talented people get frustrated and they leave their companies because they feel like the expectations that are so far beyond reach. And what I have found in the time that I've been leading is people are invested in a world that they feel like they help create. So why not let them create it? You know, I think so much frustration could be saved if companies operated and thought like that. You know, again, knowing from and hearing from the team and the people who are on the front lines, what they feel is possible, who am I to argue with them?
I think that's a great answer. So you really end up building sales goals, sales teams goals, sort of starting with them, what they think they can do, and then mixing that with, you know, are they underselling themselves or undersetting it or not? And so I think that's a great answer. A next question, Melissa, biggest setback you faced, a setback and how you learned from it and rebounded from it.
Sure. So one of the biggest setbacks I think I faced in my career in growing and trying to pursue career growth and focusing on where I want to take my career, you know, there was a time when I didn't listen to my gut. Women are extremely intuitive creatures by nature, and I'm always the person that's going to say, what does your gut tell you? It's a lot of times what I say to my team, what does your gut say? What does your gut tell you? And I should have listened to it and I should have trusted my gut. And the one time I didn't, it led me down a career path that didn't serve me. And so what I learned from it was to trust my gut. If something feels off, it doesn't feel right, you got to recognize that and you got to course correct or walk away.
Thank you. No, I think that's a great answer. And so a final follow-up question is the great one for all professionals. How do you stay motivated, you know, day in, day out, year in, year out?
Great question. And that's another topic I really love to speak about. I write quite often on goal setting. There are a handful of things that I am religious about. These are things I do consistently year over year and quarter over quarter as I'm reflecting on my progress towards my goals. So the first thing I do is I actually set goals. I write them down. It's more than just me saying, oh, I want to do something by the end of the year. I literally write them down on paper. These goals are the things that are most important to me, and these are my whys. You know, I set SMART goals, and I really do monitor my progress on a quarterly basis. I think this is one of the best ways that you can stay motivated, because when you see you're achieving your goals and you're moving in the right direction, that's going to light a fire in you. A caveat to that is I don't do it alone. Whether it's your professional goals, workout goals, whatever goals you may have, I share those with the people that are closest to me. And what that does is it helps me if I get off track or I get demotivated, they help reinforce me and they help bring me back. And they say, hey, Melissa, remember your goals, remember what your end game is. And so that's great. My husband and my best friends, I share my goals with them so they can help keep me accountable.
Is that a vulnerable feeling, sharing those goals with close colleagues?
It is, but I think that's okay. You know, again, it's about, you're not going to be motivated every day. It's foolish to say that you're going to get up every single morning and you're going to be motivated and run out and crush it and make it happen. Sometimes you need to be reminded of what you're after and what you're moving towards. And it's no different than working out with a buddy, you know, having somebody go and join a class with you or join a gym with you. It's somebody to help you stay motivated when you don't feel very motivated.
And another question on that. You mentioned both professional goals, fitness goals, other goals. Do you set stronger stretch goals for your professional side or your fitness side?
I would say it kind of depends on the year. I think after I had my son, I probably had stronger fitness goals than I had professional goals at that time after having a baby. But I do think I lean towards more stronger professional goals. And I think it's just because there's a lot more involved with that. There's a lot that I want to do and a lot of mountains that I want to climb. So again, keeping it attainable, keeping it realistic, but really charting towards your progress and checking those things off the list. That's where I mostly lean.
Good. Thank you. I think just a very helpful and very, it's sort of a facetious question, but you actually gave us a great answer on it. So thank you so much and just fabulous.
Sure.
I want to thank you for joining us today, Melissa. You're just a great guest and extremely articulate and a pleasure to listen to. So thank you so much for joining us and we'll hopefully get a chance to visit again. Thank you.
Thanks again, Scott. I really appreciated you giving me the opportunity to be here and hope the audience and listeners got some value out of our talk today.